Sixers,
that is a big one.
Sixers defensively this year.
Yep.
If they go with a small lineup, playing three guards and the like, I hope they were watching the NBA final. Because both of those two teams pick up at half court, if not in the back court,
Jody,
which I've been told for years, nobody in the NBA is ever going to play in the back court.
Correct.
No, they pick them up at the top of the key. Oklahoma City didn't, Indiana didn't, and they both played dynamite defensive basketball in the playoffs. They now have guys that you hope could. I know that Edgecombe can. Edgecombe steps in, he's the best defensive player out of the three. McCain and Maxey. Maxey, I'll give this much. He was improved last year. Not a major improvement, and there was room for improvement.
Yep.
But before he got here, he was improved, and he was more aggressive, and I liked it. McCain, I didn't see enough to be able to tell you whether he is or isn't a defensive player. But if you're going to go small, you better play defense starting at half court.
Yeah, no, they're going to need that advantage. I admired the way those teams played it in the finals. Larry Brown, famously, it wasn't a full court precious thing, but he would do the half court trap. And every once in a while, you'd get a steal. But the main thing was he was just trying to knock 8 to 10 seconds off the shot clock for the opposing team, and it was very effective. They were most effective with that when Theo was in there because he was faster than Dikembe, and they could run that half-court trap. And, yeah, I agree with you, Jody. I think, you know, look, this team's going to have to play some creative basketball, particularly if they don't have Joel. Now, what we know is they have three guards that are very talented, and they're also young. Maxey not young anymore, but, you know, on the young side. So let's get to some of the audio of Spike yesterday after the Edgecombe pick, talking about various aspects of the backcourt, including which Sixers guard will actually become the best over time. Let's listen to something Spike said.
His ceiling. If he reaches his ceiling, you think he's better than any guard we have?
Oh, I have very high expectations for McCain.
Sure.
So
that's why I'm asking.
Not McCain.
Okay.
But I don't think. But he could. Like, if McCain doesn't become as good as McCain can become.
So when he says probably not McCain, he's saying he does not think Edgecombe will become better than McCain. Although he's saying he could be if McCain disappoints me and doesn't become what I think he is. But what he's telling you is Spike thinks McCain becomes the best player. Devin? 5 years from now, 7 years. I mean, we got to be. Well, let me be more fair about this. It's not 5 years from now because Edgecombe will be still 5 years younger than Maxey. When their careers are over, Maxey, McCain, Edgecombe, who will have had the best career?
I mean, it's hard. That's a hard thing to judge.
It's a very hard thing to judge.
But, I mean, given that Maxey has had the most time, obviously, in the league, and I don't want to say he hasn't done anything, because he has, but, you know, they haven't won. I'm going to say McCain. Like, I agree. I think that McCain's future is very bright.
Just because he outshoots everybody? Like, he's just that great a shooter?
I mean, he only played, what, 30 games before
something
he got
like
injured?
That.
And
yeah.
And he was, you know, front runner for Rookie of the Year. Like, the way he's able to provide shots, you know, from areas of the court that the Sixers are certainly lacking.
Yeah, I mean, look, it'll be fascinating to find out how it plays out. I don't know. I mean, it's almost like the Phillies starting rotation, and you know, like if Nola was healthy, who's going to be in the playoffs? Now Nola's not healthy, so it simplifies it. But sometimes there's hard things to answer and good options to have. Let's listen to Morris Blake as he continued on, and you can tell whether Edgecombe becomes better than McCain and Maxey or not. You can tell Spike thinks Edgecombe's going to be pretty darn good. Listen to what he said.
When he's playing for the Bahamas, he has a way different role than when he's playing for Baylor, when he had a very sort of narrow role in do this, and this is what we want you to do. When he's playing for the Bahamas, they wanted him to do more off the dribble stuff. There was a lot more dribble drive. There was a lot more. And you see him, and you're like, wait a minute. I've been told for the last month that this guy doesn't have a handle. And then you see him dribbling like a guard, and you're like, okay, he might not have an NBA handle yet, but you start to come up with like this stereotype of what you think the player is, and I think he's better than what we have thought he is. I guess that's a long way to saying I think his ceiling is much higher than we have given it credit for.
Man, that's great to hear. One more from Spike because he continued talking about Edgecombe.
This guy, like you watch not just the Pacers, but you watch the Pacers and the Thunder, and you feel like they have four of this guy,
right,
you know, running around who is tough. So I think he can be a star player.
I was going to say that the flip side of that is he a star player?
I think he can be.
Okay.
Yeah, like I think he can be.
Now, I'd rather hear Spike say I think he will be, right? No one has said, no one that I've heard has said I think he will be. But it's good to hear Spike say that there's more upside than perceived, and
And I do agree with him. I had the same thought, you know, watching the finals and then with the pick. Like, the finals was full of, you know, athletic wings who could just run around and play defense and shoot threes and stuff. Like, it does feel like it's where the league is right now.
That, and also it's just striking how much the super team thing hasn't worked in recent years.
Yeah.
And it may be, you know, the league moving more toward a compilation of players. Now, maybe
which
not.
Which would be great.
It would be good for the league. I'll say this. I still think if you get the right combination of star players at the right age, and here's a key, the right attitude, it will still trump the combination of quality players. By the way, OKC may be growing into that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. OKC is like, you know, a lot of quality players with upside and a superstar, you know? Well,
but something that I really like about this draft and recent drafts for the Sixers is you mentioned attitude. I mean, the three guys that we're talking about, Tyrese Maxey, Jared McCain, and B.J. Edgecombe, I mean, we don't know Edgecombe well, but just from his interviews and what we've seen from him in the draft, these guys are great team guys, right? Like, they have this great attitude and great positive attitude. Tyrese Maxey's, like, smiling out there on the court half the time. And, you know, going from the Ben Simmons situation, the James Harden situation, like, I think that is exactly what the 76ers need. Like, they need that positivity.
Big time. That and star players that play.
Yes.
And stay healthy. Yeah. All right, so to that point. So we're doing five questions with the Mac Man. Jody, we're up to question number four. I kind of floated this out there yesterday, theoretically. I was like, I don't think they could, but I'm not sure. Jody, question number four for you. Could the 76ers, now forget that some teams couldn't fit Joel's salary in because they're over the cap. Some teams could if they're under the cap. Some teams couldn't.
There's one, the Nets.
All right, well, let's just.
That's it.
All right, well, let's just. Fine, the Nets. But here's what I'm getting at. Forget the salary stuff with the trade rules for a second. Would a team two nights ago have traded the 20th pick in the NBA draft for Joel Embiid? Could the Sixers have dumped Embiid's salary for the 20th pick in the draft?
No.
Could they have dumped him for a second-round pick?
I guess if you're just throwing
But the point is that, I'm throwing salary rules out. That's what it's at.
Then, of course, Joel's worth a second-round pick.
Well, I don't know that. No, but, Jody, I don't know that if he is, if he screws up some team's salary cap for 5 years because he can't
play. Well, you just said don't look at the
salary. No. I'm saying don't look at the trade. You got to match salary on a trade. Forget that part. Would a team take Joel Embiid? I hand you Joel Embiid. I'm handing you Joel. You get him, but you also get his salary. Would a team take him?
And the salary rules are still in place?
Yes.
Maybe there's a team. I'd have to go through all the teams and all the rosters and say, if you add Embiid to this and you're in good enough salary shape, like a team that would fit is Oklahoma City. But I don't think they do it. They don't need to do it. So it's got to be one of those bad team's not going to do it.
No, like the Lakers. The Lakers make the most sense. They need a big man.
Right.
They're trying anything they can to win a title while LeBron's still there. Like,
I agree.
They traded for Mark Williams last deadline and then ended up reversing it because of the injury thing or whatever. Like, he would have helped them. They need a big man desperately. Like, I think if they're going to do it, I just don't know if the Lakers have enough, to give
That's
back.
That's interesting.
But that makes sense.
But James, would you agree there are not many teams that would take Joel for
nothing? That's why I just said the Lakers. Like, that's the team that makes sense. Like, I don't have a ton of teams that make sense.
Yeah. I think most teams would say, if you give us Joel and we give you nothing, I think most teams would say, you can keep him. Which is sad, but, Now, listen, there's a possibility he gets back on the track and, feels shaky.
Welcome back. We are live today, midday show, from the Yacht Club of Seattle City for the New Heights Team 62 Beer Bowl, benefiting the Eagles Autism Foundation. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilla, Kyle Quinn here with us. We got everyone here with us today. Joe Cameron just showed up.
Joe Cameron just rolled up in the piece.
He is here.
His little flower shirt on.
Yeah, he's dressed for the event. Hugh, what's your take so far on what we've seen here?
It's basically, I guess you have to chug a beer. It's like an obstacle course. It's almost like Ninja Warrior.
Yes, on the water.
And on the water, and you have to navigate the obstacle course, and I guess at the end is where you dive into the water.
So the grease pole has not been part of the whole
has not been navigated yet.
Yes,
but the young lady, I think the young lady that went first, she was the best so far. But the guys have put up a strong effort. But it's tough, I guess, as we go through the day and the obstacle course gets wet, it gets a little slippery. So that could be a little bit of a problem.
It looks like you got to chug a beer right before you go
along,
too.
It does look like that.
That adds
creates some problems.
I'm sure it does. So just one last time. Any chance when we're done with the show today that you'll participate?
No, I'm not doing that. That's not in my wheelhouse.
Who thinks there are sharks in the bay?
And they're absolutely not.
Are there fish?
Sure.
In the bay?
Yeah.
And is a shark
a fish?
Do you see
all those people out there smiling?
No, I'm asking a question. We're going to workshop.
Dude, there are fishing creeks.
Is there a fish in the bay? Is there fish in the bay?
I'm sure there's a fish, yeah.
Are sharks fish?
Are we doing this?
Are fishes sharks? Fishes, sharks, fish?
Do you see all
this logic stinks.
Do you see all those
but
people
sharks,
out there?
But you do agree that sharks are fish, right?
There's no agree or disagree.
No,
like,
but
there's
you
objective
agree that
fact.
Sharks
that,
are fish,
no, they
right?
are, yes.
Are fish in bay?
Fish are in the bay.
Okay,
you, yes.
So are sharks are fish, right?
What are you talking about?
No, but I'm saying we're
this
workshopping
isn't working.
This.
No, we're not.
No, we're workshopping this. So what I'm saying is this. If fish are in the bay, right? There's a good chance that there might be one in there.
No, the good chance is where you've lost
everyone.
No,
but what I'm saying is this. Like, let's use the logic here, right?
No, we're trying.
We're working on it.
No, but there's a possibility, right?
Very small.
Like, my man right here that's ear hustling, he know what I'm talking about.
He knows. He's not a single shark.
So you feel where I'm coming with this, though, right, sir? See what I'm saying?
So do you see all the people out there having a good time?
Yeah, and they can have all the good times that they want. Ross Tucker's having a good time.
They wouldn't be in there.
Ross Tucker took his shirt off.
Well,
he's
hot.
Out there. He's not looking. He walked away because I put him on blast. But yeah, it's no.
Wait,
I'm not.
Wait a
I'm
minute.
Good.
Wait. Are we even sure that sharks are fish? Though we had somebody on the station.
Oh no.
I
thought
I can't hear you. I'm on the air, but I'm not going. I think I heard what you said. I'm not going out there.
Fran, you gotta find Jolly on.
Oh, I already got it way ahead of you.
Oh, perfect.
You're not going out there.
All right.
Play it.
Let's hear it.
You ever hear of a fish catching a guy?
Just say, what if a shark like eats somebody? Yeah, Jaws.
What about it?
Fish. Right?
Shark's not a fish.
Shark's not a fish? Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to dump that so no one hears it.
It's not a fish. It's a mammal.
Remember when you said sharks aren't fish?
No, I didn't.
We have the audio.
Why would I say sharks aren't fish?
It happened.
And?
Well, you're telling me this stuff, so I don't know if I should believe
sharks
it.
Are a mammal.
Is
I don't care.
Sharks are fish.
Sharks are not mammals. That is not
that.
True. Sharks are
Jolly
not
you.
Mammals.
That's a pretty damning piece of audio for Jolly.
That's a tough look.
Well, he had to be high. He had to
he
be.
He was not.
He
I
was
could,
high.
I could guarantee
he had to be high when he said that.
You know, we've all said dumb things on the air.
Oh, I have not said anything that was dumb.
That's
now,
true. That's true.
I have not Englished well. There have been times.
You told us there might be whales in Lake Tahoe.
Okay, that was I overshot that one. That's not dumb. That's not dumb.
Wait, that's not overshooting it. How would the whales get to Lake Tahoe?
I overshot it. I had two things running around in my head. I overshot that one. But that wasn't dumb. Now, I don't English well sometimes, but that do not say stuff. Like, sharks are fish.
Okay. That's wonderful.
Fish that
are,
is true.
Fish can swim in the bay.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing the connection.
Okay.
The connection is I'm not getting my ass in that water.
I never thought.
Yeah, well, that's the connection.
I never thought I'd set this up this way. But let's hear from someone rational. Paul George on his podcast, his take on the newest Sixer, Vijay Ejgomo.
I like VJ. He showed tremendous upside in when he played with Bahamas. He's competing, playing against top talent, and he's dunking on him. He's blowing by him. He was making impact. I like him. I like his upside. To me, I think he's kind of like Jimmy Butler, just a dog, plays hard, plays both ends, and it just has that toughness about him.
A Jimmy Butler comp. A young Jimmy Butler comp.
That's pretty dope because Jimmy Butler's a hard-nosed kind of guy.
Oh, yeah. And obviously, you know, there's still many people here who have never gotten over the fact that the Sixers
that
let him
left.
Go. Right? And young Jimmy Butler was a dog. Like, when he was on the Bulls before he got to Minnesota and here, he was a tenacious defender. And he's the kind of guy, because we had some call earlier that said, you know, not every player figures out how to shoot. Jimmy Butler did not come into the league a 25-point scorer, right? He came in the league a defensive player. And he worked his ass off to become an all-star player.
Kind of like VJ.
Yes.
But
I think he could have that same path where his calling card the first two or three years is defense. And then 4 or 5 years from now, like, whoa, he's averaging 23 a game. I can see that.
Yeah, but, you know, you want him to come in and be comfortable and not feel like his growth is stunted on the offensive side of the ball. That's my biggest concern because, you know, the last few years I've been here, everything kind of runs through Joel Embiid. And Joel Embiid hasn't been healthy enough for that to be the case. That's my biggest concern.
Yeah, and reality is he probably won't ever be again. So I understand your concern. I just have hope again for the Sixers for the first time in a while. They made the right pick last night. Adrian is up on WIP. Hey, Adrian.
Yo, Adrian.
Yeah, you know, Maury never put no thought into making these picks. You know what I mean? We could have got two picks for this third pick. I mean, you pick three, that's supposed to be like a game changer, man. He just like another piece. We already got a piece like that. So,
what piece do we have?
Well, how do you know?
What piece do we have to play defense like this, kid? Nobody.
We got Derek. Look, we could have got Derek McQueen in the point guard from Florida.
His name's Derek Queen. It's not even his name.
We have no point guard on this team. And we could have got younger, got rid of Paul
George. No point guard. They have two point guards. Squeeze them and then no point guard. They have Maxey and McCain.
Maxey's not a point guard.
Well, he plays point guard.
You know anything about basketball? He's not a point guard.
So, of Maxey and McCain, we don't have any point guards.
Now, if you notice in the playoffs, every team had a great point guard. You know what I mean? The fielder, the fire. So with us not having a point guard, Maxey's a two, McCain's a two. Like, you know, we should have got younger, man. We supposed to got rid of Paul George.
Younger? They took an 18-year-old last night. What do you mean younger?
He's a Grimes. He's nothing but a Grimes.
Oh, like, come on. The Quentin Grimes stuff. The guy showed up for 30 games last year, and now we're making him out to be something.
He showed up. This guy ain't showed up for no games yet, so we don't know what we're going to get.
He's a draft pick.
Now, and like, you're the one saying it's a bad pick.
Wait, he's injury prone? Who said this? Who's injury prone?
I didn't know.
The pick that we got, he's been hurt already. I mean, y'all got to do your homework on this stuff. Don't nobody do their homework.
How many games did he miss last year? How many games did he miss last year?
We said, we asked the question, was he hurt? Now we don't do our homework. Okay, gotcha. We got you. I got you.
So you wanted to trade down to, like, the teens? Yeah. That's about right.
Was that Adrian the Giants
fan? Oh, yeah, it is, yeah. We haven't heard from him in a while.
We haven't. Probably for good reason.
I don't remember the last time we talked to him. Usually it's just during football season.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't heard his Sixers takes.
I don't think he knows what the hell he's talking about.
Well, they seem to be equally as bad as every other take he's got. All right. We go from Adrian the Giants fan to Marlon the Cowboys fan.
Oh,
what a
wonderful
banner segment.
This is terrible.
What's up, Marlon?
Hey, Cal, I know it's all wonderful. But anyway, hey, Joe, how you going to just keep calling Ace Bailey a loser, though?
Because I think he's a loser. I mean, it's very easy.
Okay.
Like, losing so players.
Before the draft, right, wasn't you in the WIP? Oh, who want to play for the Sixers when they got the worst organization in the history of the NBA?
But you don't
give a man credit for saying, like, why would I want to go there?
No, why would I give him credit? Who the hell is Ace Bailey? He played at Rutgers. Give him credit.
It doesn't matter, bro.
Yeah, sure it does.
Get money. That ain't his problem.
I don't care about his money.
He does.
Would you go to the Sixers knowing you got two dead weight players that never play?
So you're defending the kid who turned down every workout from Rutgers. This is who we're sticking up for here. Ace Bailey.
But he got talent, number one, and
he can't jump. He can't shoot free throws.
Listen,
he's a skinny jump shooter.
Not everybody that's in college coming to the NBA now is hungry, bro. They don't get paid. They already coming in with money, so they dictating now. So you got to understand that philosophy. You know what I mean? Like, you can't just keep calling him a loser. You wouldn't have played for the Sixers either.
Sure I would have. Here's what I wouldn't have done, Marlon. I would not have scheduled a workout and then not just shown up for it. Like, who the hell is this kid? Like, why are we defending him?
We got that's good strategy.
No, it's not. Enough. He's in Utah. What strategy did he figure out?
He didn't even want to be there, but guess what?
So I want to go through Marlon's logic on this. So the kid lost money last night, right? Like, the higher pick you are, the more money you make.
Yeah.
He lost money, and now he's in Utah. You think he's happy today?
But as he signs, he's going to get that money.
I don't care about it. Lots of players in the NBA make a lot of money.
There's lots of losers out there,
Marlon.
No, you know what? This is our fault. We let a Giants fan and a Cowboys fan tell us who a winner is.
Yeah. Is this Fran? Is this Fran's fault? Yeah.
And now we can't get no hits, right? Because just the other night, WIP won a bad auto talking about, he's not that great.
Who?
Even though he's doing everything.
He's back on the auto camp thing.
Auto camp.
Now won a bad auto, and now y'all want to throw them all around, and now we can't hit.
Marlon, what the hell are you talking about?
Marlon, here's the question. Are the Eagles going to win by 10 or more on opening night? Yes or no?
I think the Eagles going to get beat down so bad.
Don't say ball. Stop it.
Jalen Hurts. That's what I think.
Marlon, you are ridiculous. That's a double-digit Eagles win on opening night.
Wow.
Cowboys suck.
All right? Bananas.
The people that defend You can have wanted Ace Bailey, right? Like, if you think he was better and you think he's going to be a better player, that's fine. Like, I disagree. The idea of defending his strategy in this draft, too, is bonkers to me. I mean, he scheduled workout and just didn't show up. Like, how is anyone defending that?
Nah. I mean, I wonder what the method to his madness was, you know, or what was his end game, I should say.
Was it to lose money and get to Utah? Because that feels like a weird end
game. And then, not only does he get drafted by Utah, then there's a report out there that he didn't want to go to Utah. Okay, so where he wanted to go? Where he wanted to go? Obviously, I look at it like this, Joe. Money, he was not driven by money. Because if you're driven by money, you go to the third pick, you look at the money, and you want the money.
Not short term. I think long term he wants to score to get his next contract.
That's what I'm saying. So he's not worried about that right now. So he has a situation, or he's in a situation where he's not worried about that, as opposed to VJ. VJ was talking about, I was reading a story where, you know, they were talking about how for 7 years they lived off a generator or something of that nature, how he didn't have any money.
He came from nothing.
Yeah. And how hungry he is to just – you know, be somewhere and be that guy. I like that. I like that mentality for him. I like the fact that that's how he is, because when you look at some of the guys that were in the finals this year, that's kind of their story. Jalen Brunson, a guy was like that. Hard workers.
Look at the Thunder. I mean, Shea was not a top 10 pick. Jalen Williams not a top 10 pick. I mean, that's their two best players weren't even
so
supposed to be.
I like that, but the thing that concerns me about this is whether or not he's going to be allowed to grow on the offensive side, you know, with Joel Embiid being here and what we know about how the Sixers normally want to operate.
You're scarred. You have scars.
No, but I'm just saying that's
you have
a big
Embiid PTSD.
That's a big part. But that's a big part of it, Joe, because we're hoping as a fan base that Joel Embiid is going to be somewhat what he was before he got hurt. But that's not a guarantee.
I think it's unlikely. I mean,
That's not trying to poo-poo on Joel Embiid. That's just the reality of the knee injury that he has and what we've seen with other guys that have had that knee injury.
I understand. All right, Will in the Northeast. What's up, Will?
Hey, how y'all doing, Green Team?
What up,
Will? What's up, buddy?
Oh, listen, man. I'm about to say something that's about to, you know, make a couple people a little unhappy here.
Uh-oh.
All right, so let me just say this, right?
Mm-hmm.
We got the basketball team. Who is our top player?
The basketball team?
Yes.
Well, I mean, Joel, but he's hurt. Yeah, Joel. Right?
Okay. Who's our top player? Football.
These are trap questions, I believe.
Jalen Hurts.
Okay. Six and who's Harper. Our top player? Baseball.
Bryce Harper.
Okay. So, by me saying that, right?
Glad we got to the bottom of that.
You got two guys, right, that you always give a pass to, Joel Embiid and Bryce Harper.
I give a pass to Joel Embiid?
Yes, you do, Joe.
For
yep.
the sake of this army, yes, you do. Shame on you.
As always.
Let me cook.
No, you got it. You got it. It's all you giddy.
I wanted to trade it.
You're cooking up a fart, dude. What are you talking about?
Giddy.
Okay, so listen. Let me just say this, right? The reason why I say Jalen Hurts is the best Philadelphia player that we have right now.
But he's not.
Hold on. Let me just say it.
That he could.
Because this guy, through all the things that we have said about him, he's not going to be our quarterback for 2025 and all this and all
who
that,
said
right?
This? Who said
Paola,
this?
Let me finish.
He's putting
don't
together
me,
some conversations
right?
that we
because
had.
Because I'm going somewhere with this.
He kind of
right?
mixing them together.
This is the only player that has actually did what he had to do to improve himself and to be a better player and to be a playmaker to help our championship, I mean, help our team win a championship, right? Now,
you've got these two other top players
that's getting paid only the top dollar, right? That's always injured, that's always got an excuse, that can't get the job done, right? But yet, still, we always want to talk trash about Jalen Hurts.
Who's talking trash about Jalen Hurts?
Will, you are a disaster right now.
This is PTSD.
Who's talking trash about Hurts?
He talked about before.
Cooking anything.
It's not trash.
It doesn't make any sense.
It's not trash to say he's the sixth best quarterback in the NFL.
I like
it's
how
not
y'all
trash.
Down, though. Oh, wow.
You've lost the plot.
Let me make sense here.
What is this?
Hurry up.
BJ Edgecombe.
Y'all melt down for real.
Let me cook, man.
Dude, finish cooking.
All right, so don't get upset because I'm speaking the truth.
No, you're not.
Between them two guys, right? All three of them players that I just named.
Okay.
There's only one guy that got us a championship. And that's Jalen Hurts, right? And we're still talking about him.
But because he's the Eagles quarterback.
Dude, what are you? What is your point?
What does this have to do
talking
with
about
DJ
the Sixers?
My point is that this one guy that we always criticize and always throw under the bus has the will to win. These two other guys, they're always worried about a contract. They're worried about the money and everything, except for the main thing is why we play the game, is to win.
He needed music behind that.
No, don't give him the music.
All right, hold on a second.
It's Will's worst phone call ever.
I think this has nothing to do with VJ Edgecombe.
But you know what? You know what? Nobody would say it, but I'm going to say it.
Say
it. And hate me if you want. Hate me if you want. Because speak the truth. Right?
Speaking of truth.
This guy, Jalen Hurts, has gave us a championship.
None of this has anything to do with Jalen Hurts, dude.
Kind of does.
No. Because these are the top players that we're paying the most money.
Yeah, what about the Sixers?
I'm going to give you one more time. One more chance. What does this all have to do with Edgecombe? Edgecombe.
Okay, all right. So this is what I want to say. What I want to say is this. Joel Embiid and Bryce Harper, right? These are two great players.
So it has nothing to do with Edgecombe. We've established this.
They're not great. They're not the greatest players in Philadelphia. They are the greatest players in Philadelphia. I named the three top greatest players.
Zach Wheeler.
But this is what I'm saying, right?
We're number nine on my list.
The thing that separates them is the will to win, man. And these guys have to stop worrying about the money. Listen, we need a championship. Y'all going to get y'all money. Y'all got your money, y'all going to get your money. But what we want to see is because we know y'all are the best players in Philadelphia. Y'all are the leaders of our team. So, damn it, I want to see it.
He needed music.
No.
Giving these guys pass. It's no more passes. Shall we prove?
Who's getting anyone a pass today?
This is the most horrendous call Will has ever had.
You know what? You know sometimes.
Like, what are you talking about?
So, we know a lot of people listen on the Odyssey app. Sometimes people get stuck on a spot. Like, they're listening to a certain part of the show, right? But we're an hour ahead, and they're reacting to something. That happens once in a while. Will's in last week. He's listening to the Odyssey app from last week.
That's what I tried to tell you when he was talking
this
about
it. This isn't Back to the Future, man. No. Like this is it's Thursday the 26th.
I know.
We're at the yacht club.
But
they took Edgecombe last night.
No, I know. But he was stuck in the past. That's why when he was saying it, I knew what he was talking about. So that's why I didn't say anything.
I'm with Joe. I don't know what that had to do with literally anything.
I asked him five times what does that have to do with Edgecombe.
But he had to get it off his chest. That's all. He just had to get it off
his
chest.
Well, then just come in and say, I need to get something on my chest. This is not on topic.
I'm also going to ban the Let Me Cook thing because, like, we're going to decide if you cook or not.
Well,
you didn't cook anything.
I mean, he did kind of cook.
It was an awful point.
It was outrageous.
No, it would have been a good point if we were talking about
it. Right, it just made no sense.
Also,
what are we doing?
The idea that no one here criticizes Joel Embiid is ridiculous.
He lost me with that one.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
The idea that everyone just passes Jalen Hurts. No, that's not even true anymore.
He lost me with that one, too. Uh-oh, we got Cooper DeGene out there, Sidney Brown. Everybody done went berserk because they took their shirts off.
Now, the question is, do we think they're the most equipped to do this? Like,
they look
youngest?
Like they're the youngest.
You would think.
Like,
oh, so we must do. They must be doing the seniors last. Ross Tucker thing.
I have something to add that's going to be the final nail in the coffin for you, by the way, going in that water.
Yeah.
My buddy told me he frequently catches sharks in these bays.
Oh, yes, a wrap. Kiss the bear. Hey, thank you, buddy, for listening to me and understanding
now, exactly where I'm coming from. Now, the bay extends a little bit further than where we are.
Oh, go get it, young buck. He's going for it. See, he's attacking it like he attacks those receivers that catch the ball and try to take their head off. He's out of there. Okay, Sidney.
Would you say, just based on that, he's the favorite to be the starting
safety? Cooper right behind him. Oh, look at Cooper. He's stuck. Okay.
Like a beach whale.
Okay, come on. He got up. The young cat's going for the young Thundercats. He's off to the side. Oh, he is on one. Oh, they made
that
it.
That was pretty impressive.
You know what? Now they got the seniors group coming up. Let's see what Ross Tucker does. Ross Tucker's about four beers in. He's the seniors group.
You think he's the only one a few beers in?
Oh, no, he's not the only one, but he's the one that I'm going to put on blast.
I feel like you might be asked to be MC next year after what I just heard.
Definitely.
Yeah, that'd be great. All right, Violet in Virginia's up. What's up, Violet?
Violet. Hold up,
hey
is
guys,
Landon?
How are you? Oh my gosh, that sounds so much fun out there.
Oh, it is a blast.
Wait a minute, is the big dog about to go?
It sounds like one of the big dogs about to hunt.
Oh yeah, big dog. Okay, big dog. Oh, I forgot. There can't nobody hear me.
And you're live on the radio. And you're on the radio.
Yelling at people here. My bad.
Violet, it is very fun. Yeah, he was forgetting where we are. We're having a good time.
Rod did not like that.
Violet, what do you think about the Phillies?
Oh my God, they're so frustrating. I mean, I haven't given up on them, but my goodness, and I can see why. Oh, that. I'm sorry. That owner. He's really ticking me off. I'm going to tell you what. If he does not sign JT and freaking Schwarber, I am not going to watch them.
he's taking his time.
No wonder they're so wishy-washy on the field, because our freaking owner is a wishy-washy. Oh, jeez.
Well, and to imagine this team without both of them would be ridiculous. Yeah.
He should have addressed some issues in the offseason, which sounds
Violet, I think we're losing you a little bit, but we appreciate it. She's annoyed already that the Phillies haven't re-signed their guys. Yes, and I'll tell you this.
Landon's going across. Big dog, you see the big dog, Landon? Okay, on his feet. Big dancing bear. Oh, Landon didn't make it.
Yeah, the dancing bear took a tumble there, Hugh.
Yeah, he's a big guy. We don't fall in for that. The big guys, man, it's hard to navigate those things, man.
Yeah, this is taking a little longer than the DBs trying to get through this.
Yeah.
He's struggling to get out of it.
He's rumbling, bumbling, and stumbling.
That's a good way to put it. All right, 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. We'll get back to your phone calls. We also have to address something from one of our own here at WIP. Specifically, I need, Hugh, you need to help out a former teammate of yours, a current teammate at WIP.
Yes.
But also a former Eagles teammate, because Greece had himself a tweet yesterday that we red flagged. We'll talk about this coming up next. Your calls on the Phils. We'll get leading off around 1. And the Sixers. VJ Edgecombe. It gave me hope last night. They took a grown-up.
Hope.
They took a kid that's got his head on straight. It's going to be a really good player in the NBA. All coming up. We'll get to the Ike tweet that was heard around the world. That's next. Midday Show live from the Yacht Club of Sea Isle for the New Heights Team 62 Beer Bowl, benefiting the Eagles Autism Foundation on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Winning on the field starts with how you cover off the field, and nobody helps you bounce back like my team at the Mattress Warehouse. This 4th of July, you can celebrate with big savings at the Mattress Warehouse, up to $1,200 warehouse-wide. Right now, save $500 on Tempur-Pedic best-selling Breeze mattresses designed to feel up to 10 degrees cooler all night, every night. I don't have this mattress, but as hot as it is right now, folks, y'all need to probably go invest in one of those, because that seems like it's really, really nice. And you can score a free adjustable base with select mattress purchases. Do what I did. Come in today and sleep better tonight during the Mattress Warehouse 4th of July sale. Shop their entire selection and find a location near you at mattresswarehouse.com. That's the mattresswarehouse.com.
Is this Sixers changes or Hugh Douglas changes? We'll figure it out.
You know what the sad part about this is, man?
One of the sad parts, yeah.
I wasn't high. I hadn't been drinking. I just went home and went to sleep. But guess what's going to happen today? Are we getting high today?
That's why we got the orange gummies for the draft party. All right, welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Jenner. All right, coming up at 12, we'll talk to the voice of Philly, Scott Fransky, for a Fransky Friday. I heard through the grapevine Scott was wondering if I was going to be freaking out today. I don't think I'm
Oh, yeah, you know it.
Yeah, I don't think I'm much freaking out as I am. I'm upset. And I
he asked me if you were going to be jumping off a bridge.
Yeah, well, then
I'm pretty
yes,
sure he
yeah.
don't want to talk to us, though.
Well, it's not Scott's fault Scott's they're not scoring.
But he's a stand-up guy. Yeah. You know, it's like he's always been a stand-up guy, but he's just like, oh, these slappies right here.
Yeah. I got to talk to those slappies at 12. Listen, it's not Scott's fault, but he's got to answer the questions about the Phils. So join us coming up at 12. At 1 o'clock, we're going to talk to Broads, Hunter Brody, about the Puck It Up draft party tonight.
He's pretty excited about the draft.
Broads is off the walls. Yeah, he's got to give us his. I want from Broads. I know he gave out some of his names a couple days ago with the afternoon show. I want the guy, though. Like, who's the guy they got to come out of the draft with tonight? We'll talk to Broads coming up. Try Day Friday. What snacks we bring to Broads' draft party tonight? Hugh now has his keys, so you can get there. All right, a lot to talk about. First, before we go back to the phone lines of the Phillies, and is Topper starting to lose you here as the manager of this team? Let's talk about the Sixers. So last night they draft another, I would call, winning player, non-loser, Johnny Broome out of Auburn, who was the SEC Player of the Year, one of the best players of college basketball. Now, we could probably be real about him. He's not a super athlete. There's a reason he fell to the second round. I'm not expecting him to become a superstar. But I do like the philosophy here, which is they're drafting winners. They're drafting non-losers. They're drafting guys that play like dogs instead of guys that dog it on the court. Hugh,
I really feel, I know yesterday you were concerned about the presence still of Embiid and the presence of Paul George. Hugh, I feel like the Sixers are changing their culture right in front of our eyes. Are you buying it?
Nah.
See, I knew it.
No, because I would love for these young guys to develop. I really would. But I don't think that they're going to be allowed to, especially when you talk about B.J. Edgecombe and his on the offensive side of it. Because I feel like we're still going to try, when Joel Embiid is out there, we're going to try to run the offense through Joel Embiid. They're not going to allow these young guys to take over. Because of, you know, for a bunch of different reasons. Number one is the money thing. The money thing, you know, Joel Embiid's making a ton of money. And if he comes out there and you know, he looks like he's healthy, then what else are you going to do? We've seen this team and how it looks when the offense runs through him. Granted, he gets hurt, but we've seen that. So that's what they're going to do. So it's going to probably stunt his growth. He's here to be help on the defensive end in the short term.
Well, and he will be in the short term. I think Hugh forgot about yesterday? The Weenie scale we tried to explain to you.
The Weenie scale.
The scale is tipping. They got more winners, winning kind of players here than losing kind of players now, or at least they're trying to, right, with McCain and Maxey and Edgecombe. I like all of them, and I think they're all going to help change the culture here. And then you bring this kid in. Again, I'm not going over the top at a second-round pick. I mean, it's a small chance he becomes something significant. Sometimes they do. I mean, some of the second-round picks become big players in the NBA, but this guy was a winning player. By the way, he was near the top of Jolly's big board. Is Jolly now the number one basketball guy at WIP? Is that what's going on here? He might be. I mean, he loved this guy.
That gets me turned on.
Yeah, well, I didn't need to hear that, but I did. So, look, they got Johnny Broome last night. I like that pick. The other thing that is huge from this week is that they avoided Ace Bailey. Have you seen the latest on the Ace Bailey stuff?
I can imagine. I haven't seen it.
Oh, it's going
but
from bad to worse.
But he didn't want to go there. Like, he said he didn't want to be in Utah. So what is he doing now?
Well, let's hear from Ace Bailey, as it sounds like a holdout is possible in Utah where he did not want to go.
Ace, there was a lot of speculation, the buildup in your draft process. You know, you seem pretty happy to me to be going to Utah. Well, what do you say to people that maybe just don't believe that?
I mean, I can control what I control, so how they feel. But to my team and me, me focusing on the basketball and them doing what they're doing, so it happens.
What? All right, well, how about this? Ready? That, you know what that sounds like? Word salad, because he doesn't want to say he's not showing
is
up.
That's the new coin phrase,
yes.
Word salad.
Are you ready for this? Ace Bailey. So they had another first-round pick, okay? And they were supposed to fly together to Utah.
He didn't make the trip.
He didn't make that trip, okay? If he doesn't show up, Bailey could be holding out from the team. Let's hear Brian Windhorst this morning, ESPN, on the Bailey situation. It certainly sounds like we could be having a draft pick holdout out in Utah of a guy that a lot of people wanted here in Philadelphia.
If he doesn't want to be there and he doesn't show up and this starts to get ugly, do you see the Jazz ultimately giving in?
I do not. I do not think any team in this situation would give in. They have the ultimate position, and I do not see Danny Ainge giving in. And here's the bottom line. Utah Jazz play in Salt Lake City, and I say this as somebody who lives in the middle of the country. They cannot worry about whether a player wants to be in Salt Lake City or whether he loves to fit on their roster. They have to draft and develop the most talented players they can. That is why they took him, despite him not working out, and they will absolutely not budge on this. And eventually, Ace Bailey is going to be a Utah Jazz. We'll just see how long it takes for him and his representation to figure that out.
So there was another report yesterday that he apparently told, you know, one of the teams drafted in the top five, do not pick me, otherwise I won't show up. Now, I don't know if that was Utah. I don't know if it was the Sixers. I don't know what it was. But could you imagine if this was here? I mean, we know he didn't want to be here, but I mean, it was pretty clear he didn't want to be a Sixer. Could you imagine the reaction in this city if this kid came here and then refused to show up?
Oh, no, they would have hated him.
It'd be a disaster.
No question about it. I'm curious now, Joe. I'm not as mad at him as everybody else is, and I'm going to tell you why.
Yeah, you're a real Ace Valley guy. You became one. You and Ellie.
No, mm-hmm. Because I... Like, he obviously has an agenda.
Clearly.
He has something that he feels strongly about how this is going to play out or where he wants to be. I want to see what that is. I'm not ready to condemn him. Now, the way that he's went about it is unorthodox. No question about that. But I wonder how this is going to end for him. Because the bottom line is this. He wants to go somewhere where he can be a star so he can get the rookie max, right? He wants to get that $200 million deal.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, now if you make rookie of the year, all pro teams, you have a higher scale of salary. Like,
yes.
Awards lead to more money.
Yes. So I want to see
where he, number one, where he wants to go, because he seems like he's going to be a whole problem. Yeah. He got money in the bank, but he chilling. And I want to see how the future, but this is the long game. This is not, you know, we're looking at it in the short term. He is obviously, he's obviously getting bad advice, or he's crazy like a fox.
He might be either, you know, what, whatever becomes his career is his own thing. I just am so glad the Sixers avoided this. This was a train wreck waiting to happen.
But aren't you curious to see how this is going to play out?
Yeah, I watched it from afar, but not here.
Well, but yeah, that part.
We're changing the culture here. You wanted another weenie. You wanted to change the culture.
I don't want the weenie. That just sounded bad. But you know what I mean.
What did you just do?
No. I would have rode him until he told me no. I don't want a weenie, but I'm want to see what's going to happen.
I figured out why.
Lather Vaseline on me. You're not curious.
Of course, I'm curious
to see how this goes. Not here.
Yeah, not here. Because I want winners, and he's a loser.
Sounds like you're still curious about the weenie.
I know I don't want the weenie. It's a problem. You know, I figured out why you've become Ace Bailey guy.
I'm not Ace Bailey guy.
You are, because you're kindred spirits. You said
what you mean? I'm difficult?
Well, no, yeah, but a few minutes ago.
I am not difficult.
A few minutes ago, what did you say? He has an agenda.
An agenda. Mm-hmm. But I don't have a difficult agenda.
Well, it depends.
I just want to be childish and eat gummies. That's it.
Yeah, that is your agenda.
And talk to the people.
You're doing a great job.
Exactly.
I mean, you're nailing that one.
I'm in my wheelhouse.
Yeah, you really are.
So, I mean, I wake up every morning and I enjoy immensely what I do.
So I know you're not buying in. I do believe the Sixers have shown us they're trying to change their culture. Yeah. And I think it's going to work.
I think they are, Joe, but I don't think that with the way that this team is hamstrung by the contracts that they have, that you're going to get what you want, because you have Joel Embiid is still here, and he still commands, even though he's probably not healthy, a certain amount of respect that even the young guys are going to have. You know, they're going to have to defer to him.
And listen,
that's all.
Rome wasn't built in a day. I'm trying to run the clock out on the Georges and Embiids, and I'm trying to turn this thing over to guys that have the right head on their shoulders. And I thought that pick last night, there was another winning player in college basketball, shows they're not going just the upside guy. They're not going just the ceiling guy. They're going for the right culture fits, which they haven't had here in a long time. 215-592-9494. Back to the phone lines. The Sixers' reaction to the Ace Bailey stuff is wild. I mean, it sounds like he's not going to show up in Utah. We'll see where that goes. I'm just glad he's not here. And, of course, the Phillies. I am really – Topper's starting to lose me because I think he's starting to lose that clubhouse. Ken and Sidman said, hey, Ken.
Good morning, John. How are you
doing? Good morning, Ken.
So, first of all, you don't feel bad. Once upon a time, 15 years ago, I realized when I got to work that I didn't have my keys with me, couldn't find them, only to find out that they were still in the front door of my house.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
On the outside, because I had to lock the deadbolt and left them dangling there all day. So, fortunately, I lived in a place where I didn't have to worry about anybody.
I guess I'm lucky because my neighbors, you know, they had a group chat talking about, you know, somebody left their keys. So.
Well, now I'll make you both feel better. And I was young. Like, I was like 20 when I did this. One time I went to the movies and I got out of the movies. I couldn't find my keys.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't just in the car. I never turned the car off. The car was running in the parking lot of the movies for 2 hours. It was still there.
And nobody took it. You were blessed.
I was very
lucky.
We all have these moments, Ken. Unfortunately for Hugh, he couldn't rectify it until a caller helped him out here, which is good.
Yeah, no, it was a wrap. They've come and picked my truck up. It's going to get keys now. It's going to get keys. So, I mean, you know, but I appreciate it.
There's worse fates in life, you.
Yeah.
Yeah, good neighbors, right? Good neighbors looking out for you. So that means.
Yeah, and I feel bad, though, Ken, because I don't even speak to my neighbors.
Well, you better start. That's got to change.
You speak to one of them.
Yeah.
Well, no.
Against your will.
Well, he speaks to me.
In your house, too, yeah, unfortunately. All right, go ahead, Ken.
So, Ace Bailey in the most predictable thing in the history of professional sports in Philadelphia. So, big surprise there. Look, first of all, on Rob Thompson, I've been out on Rob Thompson for 3 years. It's because of answers like you get from him after these games all the time. It's par for the course with Rob Thompson to just be like that. And there's a sense of urgency that has been lacking in Rob Thompson for 3 years. And, you know, I I think he lost the. I do think he's lost the dressing room. But even if he hasn't lost the dressing room, you're not going to win a World Series with this guy. It's just not going to happen. He's probably a good manager over 162 because he is so even keel. But when you've got a month sprint to a pennant hanging over your stadium at the end of the line, you need to have a different mindset of urgency that Rob Thomson has never displayed that he has. But the other thing that if I hear one more caller say that what we need to do is bring up Justin Crawford. Did the last three games?
What are you gonna do?
My head's gonna explode. Did the last three games not show you what the offense looks like when you got a bunch of minor leaguers in the lineup? I mean, a team that cannot hit, and this team is fatally flawed in its construction. You've heard me say that numerous times. But the answer is not to put more minor leaguers who can't hit major league pitching into the lineup. So anybody who's talking about bringing Justin Crawford up right now, is they're not actually watching him play, or they don't know what they're talking about? Because his 365 average or whatever it is the weakest 365 average you are ever going to find. It's a T-ball 365. It's
ground ball singles. I mean, what he is right now. Yeah, he doesn't lift the ball.
75 infield hits, and every now and then he'll run into one like he did the other night. You know, so bringing up another Johan Rojas, who's probably not as good defensively as Johan Rojas. The problem is that you already have Otto Kemp that you expect things out of that you're not going to get. You got Buddy Kennedy. The lineup the other night was the closest thing you're going to get to the scheduled loss lineup to quote Doc Rivers.
Yeah, the bottom half was the Iron Pigs. I mean, it was Kemp and it was Kennedy. It was Marchand. It was the Iron Pigs the other night.
And I know it's one of 162, so you kind of have to, you know, take it in stride. But as a manager of a major league team, you're not seriously trying to win that baseball game when you put that lineup on the field. And then you hand the ball to your starting pitcher and say, just go out and give us 7 shutout innings. And it's still not enough.
Well, it's crazy. I mean, Ken, they could waste one of the great rotations they've ever had. I mean, they've got 4 guys. Then I know Luzardo had 2 bad ones, so it changes his ERA. But 4 guys who basically, for 95% of the season, have dominated the league. And I heard a stat yesterday during the game. I think it's 40 of the 81 games, they've gone at least 6 innings, 2 or fewer runs. I mean, you should win all those games.
And this wasn't a coincidence. The Astros clearly have a book on how to pitch to this group of Phillies hitters.
Yep.
And they stick to it. And, you know, when Kyle Schwarber is in one of these, and I don't have anything bad to say about Kyle Schwarber, but when Kyle Schwarber is in one of these funks like he's in right now, where he's even struggling to put the ball in play, everybody goes through slumps. It happens, okay. But there is literally nobody else in this lineup that you have to worry about taking you out of the ballpark. Nobody. And when Alec Boehm comes up with the bases loaded and one out in a one-run game, do you have any faith that Alec Boehm is going to drive the baseball anywhere?
Nope, I do. No. That's the reality of who they are. Ken, what do you got for us for a snack we could bring to Broads' Puck It Up party tonight?
So this is, you've probably never had this before, but I got to tell you, if you try it, you'll be addicted. It's fried pepperoni, so it's slight, thin pepperoni. Deep fried, and then you sprinkle some grated Parmesan cheese on it, and it's like it's Parmesan chips, basically. It is unbelievable. You will not be able to stop eating them. I can't tell you what's going to happen the next morning when you have to go into the restroom.
It might be a little rough.
I feel like you're going to take some precious years off of Hugh's life.
Yeah,
you?
But it sounds. I think it would be popular at the party. Dan, good call.
Everybody know that pepperoni is too spicy, man.
You'll be okay. Oh, yeah. Too spicy.
I don't like it. Excuse me.
He mentioned the Schwarber thing with the home runs. You know, they have one player, that's on pace for more than 20 home runs. It's him, who's already at 24. They don't have a single other player at double-digit home runs. All right, one thing I want to address, because he's obviously very annoyed at the bring up Justin Crawford crowd. I wouldn't be upset if they brought him up. I also don't think he's a savior. I mean,
no, he's not.
He's not a savior kind of player. Also, they don't hit home runs. He literally has zero power. He's not going to help in that department. It's just, can he provide some sort of spark?
He's not meant to be a savior.
No.
It's meant to send a message.
And so DFA Kepler, bring him up?
Yes.
I would do it today.
Because this is like what I like to call prison rules. This is like when somebody tries to take your Jell-O. You know, this is like when somebody tries to take your Jell-O.
Yep.
You know, you got to go ahead and swing on that cat.
So Kepler tried to take the Jell-O from Topper?
He took the Jell-O.
I'm not big on sayings necessarily, but there are a few I live by. One of the sizes for people in prison.
So now you got to get the locker room.
Way to power right through that.
Yeah, I just
I tried to off, didn't work.
No, but you have to take your power back. You have to do something drastic. This is almost equivalent. Do you remember when Andy Reid was here and George Hegeman left?
Yep.
When he lost his starting job, he left.
Mm-hmm.
And Andy, he came back after he thought about it, and Andy made him push the sled and then cut him.
Yeah.
Same thing. Because I can tell you this, after Andy did that, everybody was like, well, damn.
Better listen to that guy.
I can tell you what we said, but it was like, he ain't playing. He ain't playing. You have to do something drastic.
So I think with this, I feel like Topper's losing the clubhouse a little bit here, and we need to put it either fix this or we got some problems here. The GM, Dombrowski could have his back. Dombrowski signed Kepler, right? Dombrowski ultimately has to make the decision if they're going to move off of Kepler. He could take the L on this one. Like, hey, let's move on. Let's bring Crawford up. And then it removes a guy from the clubhouse.
I mean, it sends a message.
Yes, it clearly would.
It sends a message because, like I said, when I'm riding in and you told me this story, I was like, ooh.
It's a bad quote.
That's a bad look.
They told me I'd play every day. Yeah. I mean,
And to be honest, you started the season.
And to be fair, he's also played, I think he started 60 of 81 games. It's not like he's played 20. He's played most of the time.
You started the season, and you kind of stunk.
He stinks. I mean, I'd move off him today. Chris
like
in Middletown.
I like stink, but I was there.
He stinks. And just say it.
And I don't like using that.
Chris Kepler stinks. What's up, Chris?
Happy Puck It Up Friday, man.
Yeah, we're pucking it up.
Puck it up.
Puck it up a lot around here.
Puck it up.
Go ahead, Chris.
Before we get to senile Douglas, let's talk about these Eagles here, or these Phillies, I'm sorry. So it's very clear that it's all Hugh's fault because it's Rojas. Rojas seems to be the guy that is the trigger. He's the one setting these guys off.
Yeah, they're like they're playing this guy over me. That's the reaction of that.
Yeah, somebody he did trigger. It was a trigger warning. Definitely.
Yeah, it was.
So now we're two for two with Rojas being a guy that's he's the fuse that's lighting off the TNT.
That's
so
crazy.
I mean it's obviously very clear. Topper has lost his team. They're done. I think the only thing that's going to be the final nail in the coffin is going to be when you get Bryce or now one of the elite players come out and say something and go against them. That's going to be the final nail. But it's lined enough for that. And speaking of Bryce, does anybody know where Waldo is right now? Like, does he know we're playing baseball right now?
He's getting ready.
Well, he took, I felt justified yesterday. Remember during leading off, we talked about Bryce taking all those swings, and I said it felt like a lot of swings in the cage. On the broadcast yesterday, Stocker said the same thing, because Chris, apparently he took 75 swings in the cage yesterday. I'm like, that feels like a lot. If we could take 75, let's get back to the games here.
Yeah, I only need about 10 or 15 for a baseball game. So, I don't know. Bryce, we are playing baseball right now, and this isn't spring training. These games matter. So, and if you haven't noticed, Bryce, we can't seem to score any runs, so kind of need you here, guys.
Help!
So we need him to come back. Hugh, what? Bro, I can't even go away on vacation without you being lost. Like, what is going on? You are like the epitome of senile Douglas here. Like, you're going off the cliff. Like, I feel like we need to start getting you somebody to drive you and like walk you around.
My daughter's driving me today.
He did have a driver today.
She's coming to pick me up
by necessity because Pop Pop over here misplaced his keys in the mailbox.
Yeah, I left him in the mailbox.
The community mailbox.
You remember when you played football? You know how like once you hit that wall comes quick and it's a cliff. Like in life, the same thing happens. Like. Uh-huh. You may want to like spend a weekend to get your affairs in order and stuff because while you still have your sanity left,
I'm going to the upper room. Yeah,
yeah.
No, we didn't say it's happening yet. And Chris, good phone call. Good to hear from you.
It ain't too. I can't. I don't have a retort. I mean, I deserve that.
Yeah,
I hate. You know what the worst was? I knew this was coming as soon as I woke up. I couldn't find my keys, and I had to call y'all because
the fact
you
had to tell us. Yeah.
And what? Who was it? You? Oh no! I was like, that old fake ass. Oh no! I already know what that is. And I knew it was like Pop Douglas. He's losing it. I just knew because you and Kyle in there laughing and giggling.
So we're in your head.
Of course.
215-592-9494. All right, we'll keep taking your phone calls after we talk to Scott Fransky coming up on what the Phillies should do with Max Kepler. Is this a Rob Thompson issue? And the Sixers, now that the draft is finished. All coming up, Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Obviously, Edgecombe, Sixers pick last night at 3, the big story. I'm excited. I mean, the way he presented himself and his family and the mom and the brother, that was some great stuff. We're going to get to more of that audio. There's a lot there. But what do you make of the justification of Hal Dombrowski? Because he's talking about defense. Yeah, that matters. So does offense, which the Phillies have scored a grand total of 0 runs in the last 2 games. Andy in Deptford. Andy, good morning.
Morning, team. We live. We hot.
Edgecombe's hot. Yeah. Edgecombe's ready to ball out.
Before I get to the draft, I just wanted to circle back quickly to your Bermuda thing. I had 2 quick questions I wanted to ask you.
Sure.
So you're on this boat, right?
Mm-hmm.
And everyone jumps in the water. You climb down the ladder. So,
well, hold on. Some others should climb down the ladder as well.
Who?
Oh, okay. I would say 75% climb down the ladder, 25% jump.
All the men jumped in.
Why didn't you say that the other day when we were ripping you for it? This seems like a new addition.
Well, no, he just said everyone, so I'm now answering.
There's no way people did that.
I'm telling you they did.
I've never seen this.
So here's the deal.
What?
Joe, in your lifetime...
Well, I got to... Let me just throw this out there. There's a lot of people that had a lot of drinks. So there was a lot of let me get in carefully so I keep my drink in good shape.
All right, so here's the deal. So in your lifetime, you've never jumped in a pool... Jumped in a pool off a diving board.
One or two times ever.
Oh my! You never jumped a wave in the ocean? Like, come on,
well,
man.
I've done a little bit of that, but I'm careful.
Have
about
you ever
it.
Like boogie boarded or
nah.
surfed or?
Nah.
Oh my god, man! You need to start living life, my guy.
Well,
you know, and he doesn't do the rides at amusement parks either.
I did one time. I did that thing that goes
really
around at Hershey Park.
You know, things that are
loop,
fun.
Yeah, I did the loop thing
not
at Hershey
really
Park
or the Comet.
Yeah,
Joe,
what, I don't know
the one that goes upside down.
Yeah, I did it one time.
Super duper looper.
One was enough for me.
Joe, that's the only roller coaster you've ever done?
Well, no, I did Space Mountain. It's good because it's in the dark.
Right. Okay.
I enjoyed it.
You've done 2 roller coasters your whole life.
But I did Space Mountain 3 or 4 times. You couldn't see, so I wasn't afraid.
Space Mountain is an amazing roller coaster.
But it's kind of a cheapie.
But it should have piqued your interest to go on other ones instead of making you say, I don't want to do that ever again anywhere else.
No interest. If the lights are on, no interest. Andy, go ahead, man.
You really seem like fun to hang out with, man. You don't ride rides. You won't jump in the pool.
That's
you think
the
our
thing.
Quarterback that won the Super Bowl is not going to be our quarterback in 2026 season.
Well, I amended that comment. I made that comment before.
And you left the greatest Eagles quarterback all time off your current top 11 list just to be spiteful. Like, come on,
man. Well, it wasn't to be spiteful.
And you're supposed to be credible.
All right. All right, Andy, what do you got on last night?
As far as last night with the draft, I mean, you know, I look at a team like Utah. They're not scared to get the best player that was available. I commend them for that. You look at us, we got 3 guards under 6'6". I mean, that's like the Eagles, Foles, and then they just draft Jalen Hurts. Like, what are we doing with 3 guards? I mean, I don't get that a little bit. I really don't. And I know I'm running short on time, but you're talking about the Phillies and Harper, this and the third.
Yep.
Is this that same clown that was trying to get an extension on a 13-year contract? Like, come on, man. That's that same clown that hasn't won a thing here.
So he's not a clown. He's not a clown, but it was a bad move looking for the extension and going public. That was a bad move. Andy, who or what blew it? Give me a non-sports answer.
Non-sports answer on who blew it.
3, 2.
How about Philadelphia for getting rid of one of the greatest things ever, Wing Bowl?
All right. Wow. Rips WIP right there. All right. No more Wing Bowl. Fair enough. Rhea,
okay.
You guys were done with it, right?
About 5 to 7 years beforehand.
You have no idea. It was a lot. I'd actually had a dream about it last night.
Did you really?
You were running it.
No.
Yes, and John was working on the script. I swear to God, it just popped into my head.
That is bizarre.
That's wild. Yeah.
Is that going to happen?
No, God, no.
No, that's not going
to happen.
No. Like when we got rid of it the last time, Angelo tried to bring it back the next year, and we all threatened to quit.
Wow. For real?
Yeah. No, I couldn't do it again.
Maybe we should do it with scallops. I love scallops.
I love scallops, too, but you can only eat, like, about five.
How come no one ever does, like,
I could eat a lot of scallops,
buffalo scallops?
I could go pretty
buffalo
nuts on some scallops.
Wouldn't that be good?
I don't know. I don't know if that sounds good.
But here's the problem, John. What Rhea was describing wasn't really about the wings.
No.
The issues weren't.
It was all the other stuff.
It wasn't the food.
Yeah, the wings was the least. Was fine. Yeah.
It was the least
part of
it. Joey
Chestnut and whatnot doing that.
All right,
you know?
So the last caller brought up so many guards. It's a legitimate worry. Guys, it is possible if Embiid can't answer the bell this year. It is possible. The 76ers, three best players this upcoming year will all be guards. And if you include Grimes, it might be four best players could be guards. If Paul and Embiid
Small ball, baby. Let's go.
Small ball. It ain't bully ball anymore. So let's listen to Daryl Morey, because he talked about, you know, this issue, concepts. So how he will fit with the guards. And I appreciate something Morey says here, because he's keeping it real about the need in the middle. He is keeping it real with this one. Listen to Morey last night.
How do you see VJ fitting with Tyrese and Jared and Quentin, if you can bring him back?
Yeah, so I really like how things are shaping up. I mean, I think we'll have one of the best backcourts in the league, with Grimes and Maxey and Jared McCain and now VJ. So I do think, like, the way the NBA is going, I think you saw some of these teams playing dynamic, up-tempo with multiple guards that put the defense in jeopardy. And, you know, we do have to have our man guy in the middle. I felt for the players and Coach Nurse specifically last year, trying to put a defense on the floor with Joel out. And, obviously Drummond was hurt. So we didn't, Bona stepped up late, which was exciting. But it's very hard to, if you have like a bunch of dynamic guards, it's hard to make it all work if you don't have a big in there who's making things hard on the other team.
So in the few years Morey's been here, and it's probably been three or so years at this point, maybe four, I have felt he has often not kept it real. And I have felt he has particularly often not gone out of his way to keep it real. Within the context of that answer, he went out of his way to say, we need our big guy in the middle. Now, look, I'm not going to give the guy $100 for the comment, but at least he acknowledged the reality that it is an essential part of the short-term plan for the Sixers to have any shot of anything that's good, that Joel be great. Let's listen to Morey. I am not sure he kept it quite as real with this answer.
I know which one you're going to play right here.
Let's get to the Embiid answer, because in the midst of a press conference about a draft pick, obviously he had to be asked and was asked about Embiid's recovery or not recovering. Let's listen to how Morey answered the question.
Medical update time. Spoke to Joel today. He's very engaged, attacking rehab, doing everything he can to be out there. He had a meeting with Dr. Glashow this week. All things, to use the NASA term, nominal. Things are going well and expected, and we expect that to continue. So
ready for camp.
Yeah, I mean, things are on track to be ready right around there.
Oh boy!
Late November, early December.
To use a NASA term,
the NASA term and the right around
nominal.
There and
right
non, we got a non, yeah, we got means, all three of them. Yeah,
yeah, means he's not going to play during the entirety of camp, and
once
the season starts, we're going to be waiting for him to play his way into shape. Once
he's
the
attacking
season
rehab, John,
has already started.
Yeah, it wasn't an answer that gave me great confidence. It did not. Now, it's a shame, because I feel really good about it. The backcourt should be really good. I mean, guys, let's not kid ourselves. They should have. Now, it's gonna take Edgecombe some time, right? He's 19. It's going to take him some time. But they really do have a
What's
very
our word?
Talented
like,
backcourt.
We need to invent a word for the opposite of bully ball. You know, like petite play.
Baby ball.
Petite play.
Yeah. No, that doesn't sound right.
It sounds so unintimidating.
It doesn't sound right. All right, well, we'll try to figure that out. In the meantime, you can answer our Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. What's the Armin difference? It's simple. It's Armin's people. Well-trained, friendly, and caring. Together, let's drive. Visit armandchevy.com. Poll question, do you like the 76ers pick of VJ Edgecombe? Obviously, they went with him at 3 instead of everybody else thereafter, which, you know, the most notable would be Ace Bailey, who went 5. So do you like the pick of VJ Edgecombe, yes or no? I'll tell you, I was enamored with how he presented himself during the interviews afterwards. I mean, really, I thought some special stuff. We're going to get some of that audio.
Fortunate. We should feel very fortunate. So how does Utah feel about their addition?
Well, like,
are they happy about it?
Yes. Can I tell you why?
Yeah.
Because the Utah Jazz never have a great player that signs with them.
No. Nobody wants to be there.
The only way.
Last place they want to be.
Yes, literally last place in the NBA. So, after Vancouver was off the map.
And also, they are not trying to win right now, Utah. Like, they have time to let Ace, you know,
but they have
years
to go for the home run swing.
Kind of what I heard he was going for through this whole process.
Except maybe not Utah.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, he's turning his nose up at the Utah part. It's everything he was asking for. Like, he gets all the glory and all that, but it's Utah, so how does he feel, and how do they feel?
Well, ask him, man.
Psyched.
Yeah, that's one more piece of audio, so you can react to all this. Edgecombe pick, Philly's losing last night. What Dombrowski said about Bryce in right field doesn't sound like he's really going to try. That's Dombrowski to shift Bryce. I think he's pigeonholing himself. Basically, you can only acquire a left fielder or center fielder to make the team better, and I'd like to have first baseman on the table as well, but I think that's a mistake. Let's listen to Jay Billis. So right after the pick, immediate reaction to Edgecombe. Here's what Billis said.
He's elite athletically, a 3-and-D guy that plays above the rim. Lobs, I think he can do a better job finishing over length, but I think he'll get that in time. But you don't find athletes like this very often. And he's a great defender. He's developing as a shooter. He can knock down an open three, but he can certainly improve in that area. He shot 34% from three. He made 52 of them. But as a defender, he plays incredibly hard. He blows up dribble handoffs. He's an excellent chase defender, and he just disrupts. Very good as a help defender getting out in passing lanes. He has a ton of ability, and you know, you don't say this lightly. He does remind you of a young Oladipo, a young Wade when they were 19. Now, the question is he going to reach that sort of height as he goes forward? But he's certainly got the capability there.
All right, so look, you got some pretty good comparisons. Now, Oladipo got hurt and didn't have the career he ultimately could have had. He was a good player there before the injury. Not a great player, but a good, very good player. The guy, I guess I would say that I'd put in between those two. You got Wade, who's a true all-time Hall of Famer. And you got Oladipo, had a good start to his career, good surge until the injury and just kind of fell off the map. The guy I would put in the middle is Joe Dumars. That's what I'd like to see this guy become. Wow. I'm not saying he can't. Listen,
yeah,
James.
I mean,
James
closer to Wade than to
I don't know about
Oladipo.
That. I don't know about that. Wade
Dumars
was
Hall of Famer.
I know, but Wade was.
Wade was a top
five player in the league for about
Wade's
10 years.
Top 20 player of all time, maybe, you know?
Yeah, 30 or 40. But
somewhere
he's
in
up
that
there.
Range.
Yeah,
he's in the discussion.
I'm just saying, Joe Dumars. I'm thinking, all right, a year old Oladipo and Wade. Give me a Joe Dumars career. We'll say.
How about Billis saying you don't find athletes like this very often? Like, that was
that
a
sounds
strong.
So
I don't know if he's being hyperbolic, but that was a strong.
That
line.
Is a big statement. Yeah.
Is he significantly advanced in terms of defensively?
Yes, that's,
yeah,
the
that's
game.
Where he's elite.
That's the you know, and like, that's why I'm saying Joe Dumars, by the way.
Yeah. To, right. Yeah. When you're comparing him to these other petite players, like the other small guys.
Sure.
He's 6'5".
We're talking.
He's not petite. Petite is like a little strong.
I know.
Like,
but,
you know.
But guys under 6'5".
I don't know how Grimes is going to get any playing time. I mean,
Grimes,
he will somehow, but
Maxie,
not much.
Jared McCain, now VJ Edgecombe. Like, Edgecombe has the defensive advantage of those four.
It does appear that way, yes. For sure. Based on what I've seen of Maxie,
let's
for sure.
See him elevate the intensity of those other three then.
Before we let you go, you mentioned, we know that Ace Bailey was number one on your big board and VJ Edgecombe was two.
All the time.
Curious who you had as 3 and 4.
So I had Trey Johnson at 3. I would have taken him if it couldn't have been those two. Honestly, I didn't really have a 4. Those were the only three guys I liked.
Oh man, cock and nipple, man, the nip.
Nah, there was no shot. I would have traded the pick before I took him.
Yeah,
I do have a hypothetical trade for you guys, though.
Ooh,
no.
Oh, what sport?
Right, so, with how it's going with Ace Bailey in Utah, I do think the Sixers should should call and see if they're willing to trade him, right? See if you can get
him. Yeah, hold on real quick.
Real quick, Ace. I mean, real quick, Elliot. He's even hinting that he won't even go to Utah, right? And that he might sit out. And with the report that they told a top five team not to draft him because he's not going to play, and we know that it's not Utah, and we know that it's not San Antonio, and we know that it's not Dallas, so we're pretty sure that it's Philly. You would go and trade for a guy who is threatening to sit out in Utah after they already told you that he would sit out in Philadelphia.
Yes, because I think he's undervalued at this point. It's like you said, I think it was on Friday, once you make the pick, the value of it's cut in half. So currently, Ace Bailey is undervalued because of everything that's happening. So
they're not going to trade him. They're not going to trade. They knew what they were getting into.
Here's my hypothetical trade.
Okay.
Super. You trade Tyrese Maxey and the Clippers future pick for Ace Bailey and Lauri Markkanen.
That is the worst idea I've heard on WIP in 3 months.
You know, you're dealing with Danny Ainge, right?
Why?
Well, because Utah wouldn't do that.
Can I tell you, Ace Bailey is never going to be as good as Tyrese Maxey is right now. Never.
You might be right about that. You might be right about that.
Okay. So we're trading a draft pick and Tyrese Maxey for a guy. By the way, Lauri Markkanen probably also not as good as Tyrese Maxey is. Like, what are we doing?
I think that's debatable. I do think Lauri Markkanen this time last year had more value. He didn't have a great year, but he also does fit better with the other pieces. I don't super care that they have a bunch of guards because you just let them figure it out. But Lauri Markkanen would have an obvious position on this team. He could be the
four
of them, right?
So he would. I would not trade for Ace Bailey.
Okay, but also you're selling high on Tyrese. I don't know. I think it makes sense.
You're not selling high on Tyrese. You're not selling high on Tyrese.
I don't think his value will ever be higher than it is right now.
But you know, if you traded him now, you are selling high on him. Your trade is not selling high on. Yeah, but your trade is not selling high on him.
I think it is. What if I told you before the draft that they would trade Tyrese for the number 5 pick in Lauri Markkanen?
But the number 5 pick is Ace Bailey, who I don't think is going to be that good.
Right, it's the player.
Right, but I do think he's going to be good. So that's why
that's the disconnect. No.
I hesitate to ask you this. What do you think the best movie since the year 2000 is?
So I'm bad at listing my favorite movies. I always forget which ones I like. But I do think The Truman Show is a great movie.
That was definitely
easily the 90s.
That was in the 90s.
Easily the 90s.
Oh, really? Was it? Wow.
Yeah, I remember seeing that in college. Yeah, I don't know. I was in school. I saw that.
Was Man on the Moon in the 90s?
It's a Michael Jackson song.
No, Man on the Moon is a movie about Andy Kaufman, and it was in the 2000s, I think. All right. Thank you,
Elliot. Those would be my tips. Yeah, no problem.
All right.
Man in a Mirror.
You can get the Go Birds podcast wherever you get your podcast. Comes out every day. And on the podcast, he usually sticks to the Eagles, which is an enormous bonus.
Yeah.
So you don't think I should tweet that hypothetical trade?
Well, go ahead if you want. Yeah, might as well.
Yeah, the Eagles' elitism was showing with your top 10 important athletes in Philadelphia, too, yesterday.
Yeah, that as well.
Well, I know you're mad none of the Phillies were on it besides Painter, but I think that's just weird.
Well, it was very stupid.
It was a weird list.
Yeah, it was an odd list.
Yeah.
I don't think it was.
Yeah.
All right, Elliot.
All right,
there he is, Elliot Shoreparks. He wants to trade for Ace Bailey because he's not showing up in Utah, so he cannot show up here.
Yeah. Yeah. And listen, I don't know who his representation is, but
oh, dude, you got to see! I sent Jack a video of his agent earlier.
Yeah, that dude. Yeah, that's terrible advice, man.
It's not good advice.
Terrible advice, man. A, you're trying to play hardball, or with Danny Ainge. That's not going to work. You're not going to bully Utah into doing anything.
Absolutely not.
So he's just wasting a year or whatever you planning to do. He's just wasting. I don't get it, dude. Go there. Listen, I'm pretty sure Donovan Mitchell wasn't happy he went to Utah.
No.
Initially.
Yeah.
But you get there, you do what you got to do, and then you'll get traded eventually. They trade everybody eventually.
Yeah.
Like, every brother that goes out there gets traded except for Karl Malone. Everybody else pretty much leaves.
Yeah, you'll get a chance.
If you're a star player and you don't want to be there, You wait till after you get the max, yeah, and then you ask to be traded.
If you're gonna play, if you want to play chicken with Danny Ainge,
it's not gonna work.
It's not gonna work.
Nope.
He's, and by the way, trying to get him to sell low on you after they just spent the number five pick on you is not gonna work.
Not gonna work, man.
And you're gonna give up $50 million,
right?
Which is what he's
guaranteed. Is that like, what he's guaranteed?
Yeah, he has five years, about $10 million a year. He's getting bad advice.
Yeah.
Just show up.
Yeah, that's why you can't. I don't know who it is, but close friends and relatives, man. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Can't be your agents.
Yeah, come on, man.
215-592-9494. Steve in Marlton, you're on WIP. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. How you doing? First time caller of your show. Hope you're doing well.
Oh, thanks, Steve.
What's up, Steve?
That may be the most ridiculous trade proposal I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's so happy to give it to him.
How are you selling high on Maxey, getting back a role player and a guy who was a second fiddle on Rutgers?
Go ahead.
Okay. The reason I was calling about the Phillies, your poll, I don't feel any better or worse because I was always kind of optimistic coming in. I'll tell you why.
I think that's fair.
When Soto was signed, everybody was like, well, now they're the odds-on favorite. They could possibly overtake the Dodgers, blah, blah, blah. I didn't see it that way. I saw the Mets as a team. When you look back at when Soto was on San Diego in 22, they had a better bullpen, they had a better starting rotation, and they had a better lineup around them, and it wasn't enough. The Mets starting pitching coming into the season, even with their additions of the mid-range starters they made, to me, wasn't enough. I said the Phillies would win the division because the Mets pitching was not going to be good, and that the Braves were going to take a step back because they didn't have Strider and Acuna for at least a month. The only thing that's changed is not so much where I expected the Phillies to be, but where the Mets pitching has brought them. The Mets pitching is kind of overachieved a little bit, and I can come back down to earth, but I still think the Phillies, despite their flaws, and there's a few, they're still, what, two games out of the best record in the National League? Without Harper, without Nola, and without Alvarado.
Yeah, I would bet. By the way, I don't think anybody on the Phillies is outperforming their ability, and I think the entire Mets pitching staff is. So, like, I think if the Phillies don't finish with a better record than the Mets, then that is a failure of the Phillies. I think they are good enough to have a better record than the Mets this year. I just think they should.
Well, and now they lost, what, Griffin Canning last night?
They did. They lost Canning last
night. On top of Manaea.
And Achilles, by the way.
On top of Manaea that got shut down with the elbow inflammation. So
yeah. Steve, give us your...
Is Montas back yet? I heard his... Yeah.
Yeah, Montas is back. He pitched on earlier this week. He actually pitched well, but he's not a difference maker.
Steve, give us your favorite movie since the year 2000.
So this is going to be an obscure movie. I actually just saw it last week. It's a Netflix movie called Strong. I don't know if you ever heard
Strong?
Of it.
Strong? Never heard of it.
Tyler Perry.
Really?
I saw it. Yeah, Tyler Perry movie.
Oh, yeah, it's good?
Yeah.
It's a Tyler Perry movie, but it's not what you would expect from Tyler Perry. The movie, it was outstanding. If you get a chance to look at it. It was a great, great movie.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it.
I still struggle with the movies that go straight to, like, the streaming sites.
That's what a lot of them are doing, though.
Yeah. I mean, some of them, even the ones that are out in the theaters, a lot of times they're on streaming 2 weeks later.
Yeah. I just think they got to be in the theater.
You don't even go to the theater.
I know.
Yeah.
It's just the principle.
real quick.
Yeah.
How do you think those Mets fans are feeling about Juan Soto now?
Yeah, he's
probably pretty good.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. He's no longer Juan Soto.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. First month of the season, we're ready to trade him back. Yeah. Give him back.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's looking pretty good.
1 month into a 15-year deal.
Yeah.
Still going to be a DH in 2 years, but
a pretty damn good DH. Yeah.
You probably don't want him in the field anyway.
Yeah. No. Coming up next, Tornado Shapiro's weekend forecast.
Oh, looking forward to that.
We'll talk about the Sixers picked up a couple of players yesterday, one in the second round, one as an undrafted free agent. Talk about those guys. We are at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Big games, always better with crab fries. Online at chickiesandpete's.com. The official sports bar of your world champion Philadelphia Eagles. 215-592-9494. Do you feel better about the Phillies now than you did when the season started? This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.